welcome to another edition of the Crippled Chris Preview. I am Marijn, or Captain Kane.
And I'm Braceboy, or Sam.
And we are going to review a completely new CRISPR for you today. And it's for the episode, yes. And because it's for the episode, we deserve a little party. So yeah. I brought a special crisp. And I'm very excited to taste it with you, because I think these are great.
Yeah, you are very excited about these always.
Yes.
That's basically what you say. And you... We have both eaten these during our tryout in Perdu last year. In mm-hmm. June, was that?
Yes.
It's not really last year. It's like 6 months.
Yeah.
Less than 6 months ago.
Beginning of the summer.
But they are very tasty. Let's open the bag.
Yeah, let's open the bag. Very important. How does it smell?
Smell is... You smell some ginger, but you also smell a little bit of sweetness.
Yes.
They're Japanese style.
These are Lay's Sensation Japanese sweet wasabi. Maybe there's the sweet you were talking about. Japanese sweet wasabi and ginger flavor.
Yeah.
And I also believe, but doesn't say so on the bag, that there's a hint of soy sauce taste in there.
Let's try them out.
Yeah.
Let's really taste them.
I take
one. The smell is good. The smell is it's probably the best we have had in an episode this far.
Mm.
Crunchy. Nice.
Mm.
Nice and crunchy.
Yeah, I taste the sweet.
Yeah. A little bit of a spice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good wasabi flavor. It's real wasabi. Or at least it tastes like real wasabi.
Yeah, I really like these.
Yeah.
Do we have a winner?
Yeah, but one thing I missed, but maybe you taste it, I'm a little bit of the sniffle, so you have to...
Can I have another one? Thank you.
You have to realize that I have a little bit of the sniffles, but I missed... I get the wasabi... I get a little bit of the sweetness, but I miss the ginger. Or is that me? Do you get the ginger?
No, it is there.
Okay.
It is there.
Then it's the fact that I have a little bit of the
sweetness. I can understand why you don't taste it, because it's not really heavy ginger taste.
Yeah. But they are very good.
Mm.
Right? Let's not eat the whole bag, because we still have to eat dinner.
Yeah.
And maybe we should go on with the next subject.
No, we should do the roundup.
How is
the smell? What? How many bags does the smell get?
The smell is good. You really smell a little bit of the sweetness. You smell the ginger. You smell. The wasabi doesn't really have a strong smell, so you don't really smell the wasabi. But you smell the all-round crisp flavor, so that's really tempting to taste them. And the taste is nice. The wasabi really does the thing that what good wasabi does is that you feel it in your nose. And that's really what you get. But it's also a little sweetness afterwards, and maybe that's the ginger. Maybe I mistake that. And is that the ginger that comes back to you? And indeed, you smell a little bit you taste a little bit of a...
Yeah, I
soy.
I miss it now, but maybe that's...
No, I got it. And no, I like them very much.
So, smell is how many bags?
It's an overall bag rating, right? Or are we now going to rate every aspect differently? We normally do an overall rating, because we didn't talk about texture yet. Let's talk about texture first.
I think the crunch and the feeling in your mouth when you bite it is very good.
Yeah.
It's not too thick, but it's not flimsy either. It's just right.
I just got one of those crisps in there. There's always a couple of crisps in there that they become a bubble. You know,
yeah.
The perfect bubble shape, and then you feel then you can taste the pure crunch, and that's what a expensive more. I think these aren't that expensive, but the better quality crisps have those bubble effects, because that's probably the right combination of heat of the oil and the consistency mm-hmm. of the oil, And I think,
and maybe thickness of the crisp.
And that's a perfect and a really nice little crunch. They're not as crunchy as the Kroephoek we had a couple of weeks ago, but they pack a punch.
Yeah.
It is, so I want to say,
but I think the flavor is better.
More than decent crunch. So the flavor is outstanding and the crunch is more than decent. It's good. So overall, I would give them 3.5 crisp back out of 5.
I'd say 4.
Okay.
But I must say that's mostly based on flavor. And not because I think the smell is a bit faint in the beginning. But gets back at you.
Yeah, but that's... I can agree to that. Let's give them 4 then. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Although I'm not entirely sure if these are real wasabi crisps. Or if they are flavored with horseradish.
That's a good question, especially because you have a little bit of a fact about horseradish.
Yeah, horseradish is in the same family of plants where wasabi is. Wasabi has a stronger taste. Maybe can I say more pungent or
pungent is more smelly, yeah? Wasabi isn't that but I get what you mean. It's stronger, outspoken is maybe a better word.
It's basically the same flavor, only wasabi is a bit stronger. Yep. And here is our trivia coming from that. Because I believe when you order sushi from an all-you-can-eat sushi joint, often you don't get wasabi because it spoils very quickly or loses its flavor very quickly. And then it's mostly flavored with a horseradish because the flavor is quite the same.
But they put then some green coloring in there, some food coloring or something. Okay,
something like that.
Horseradish is white. Yeah. Milky white, and then we all know what color wasabi is, green. So, okay.
I spoke with my help about this.
Yeah, you sound really daunting, Abby. You sound really daunting. I spoke with the help. And where does your help stay? Does she stay in the servants' quarters?
She helps me cleaning my house. That should be said. How do you say it? My maid sounds a bit wrong either.
Maybe nowadays people try to use the term interior manager of interior. That's something that you can say.
But I was wondering if she likes sushi. She does like sushi. And I asked her if she liked wasabi. And she said no.
Oh, that's strange.
Yeah. But she didn't, so then I thought, but do you like horseradish? And again, she said no. And then I asked, how do you feel about mustard? Because horseradish has a bit of a mustardy taste.
Yeah, maybe we should mention
she didn't
that
like
Dutch
that
mustard,
either.
But Dutch mustard is, in comparison to English mustard, British mustard, or American mustard, it's far more spicy. We have more of a German or French mustard culture here, that the mustard has a really strong spicy taste. Mm-hmm. Where in the United States you have the yellow mustard, and you also have the English mustard is more of a, it's more of a vinegary taste with a little bit of the taste of the mustard seeds in there, but it's less spicy. It's more. Yeah, vinegary. So I would say sour, but sour doesn't really convey.
No,
the
I understand
whole taste.
What you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and we like our mustard with the mustard grains mushed up inside it.
That's what I like. Especially.
Yeah, that's what I like as well.
Maybe we should go on to the next topic, and then
we do. Well, I thought we were conversing nice.
Yeah, no, we were, but I want to make a little break in the recording.
Oh, okay, so that you can edit easier.
Yeah. So I'm gonna make a little break and then we can keep on talking.
Okay.
And
so you make a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, we eat mustard here, but I asked my
your interior
manager
yeah
if she liked mustard, and she didn't.
No.
So she said, oh, but then I am right. I don't like mustard, I don't like horseradish, and I don't like wasabi. So I'm consistent in that.
Yeah. So she just doesn't like spicy stuff? Does she like chili sauce or something? Or does she spicy crisps?
No, I do believe she likes spicy, but just not that. She told me she doesn't like the flavor of it. I believe she does like chilies and stuff like that.
Okay.
But no wasabi or horseradish or mustard.
Chilies, you said.
Yeah, but it is different, and mustard and wasabi are so much the same. It has a short burning heat.
True.
But it goes pretty quickly.
That's all right.
The heat of a chili
can have a different development in the taste. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So yeah. I can't imagine that someone, well, doesn't like wasabi and does like chili.
Yeah, okay.
But
that sounds actually quite logical then. Yeah.
Okay. So here we have another thing solved. Now segue into the I have a spot next Saturday. A solo spot where I am going to try out some new material. So I was thinking maybe I should start with the story first, because maybe we have told it before, but we don't really like it when people call us brave with no apparent reason, aside from us having a handicap.
So there are a lot of people that come up to us or ask, or when they talk about us, that's something that quite often happens when you have a physical disability, or when you have a disability.
Yeah.
When something is wrong with you, let's just call it by its name, people tend to think it's okay to talk about you in the third person while you're still in the same room and even in the same vicinity. It is not even that you're... And then people, while you can hear them say stuff about you, yeah, but Marijn is so brave because of his MS. Or Sam is so brave because of his CP. And then we get really annoyed by this.
Yeah, I don't really see why I'm brave for having something I haven't chosen.
No. I mean, I think it's far braver, those people that you see nowadays on the street, and it's not something that happens this year. It's already going on for a couple of years, maybe 10 years even. Those people that put in stretcher earrings, those people are really brave, I think. Because every day when I see somebody walking on the streets with a stretcher earring in, I get the almost irresistible urge to get a rope, put the rope through the stretcher earring, and tie these people down to, I don't know, a bridge or some other thing on the street, like one of those parking places for your bike, you know, where you can...
Or a bridge.
Or I already said the bridge.
Sorry.
Lamppost or whatnot, something.
Yeah.
So those people are tempting fate in a sense, and that's bravery. That's bravery.
It doesn't, at a certain point, it doesn't grow back anymore.
No, and that's also bravery.
And it might look all nice and dandy when you're, 25.
Yeah.
But it looks terrible when you're 75.
But it's also, you also have people that, I hate to do this, but the most people I see doing this are people that are probably calling themselves females, that have the bravery of wearing white trousers. White trousers is also a very brave thing, but because I could never manage that. I'm too much of a klutz. If I would wear white trousers, there would be a stain on them.
Are you using some Yiddish right now? A klutz?
Okay, too much of a...
No, I know what you mean.
I think everybody knows what I mean. But I'm too...
Yeah, that you spill things on your trousers and that they get messy.
Yeah, like in two... Yeah.
the moment short period of time.
Probably from the moment I buckled my belt on, and the moment I got a stain on there, it probably I could set a world record in like in between 1.5 minutes.
I wonder, do you ever wear white shirts?
Sometimes, and then I'm very careful.
Okay.
Then I'm not touching anything.
I'm drinking water with a straw
in those instances.
Even water?
Yeah, because
okay,
I'm crazy.
Okay,
then.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it doesn't grow back. So those people are brave, and women with white trousers are
or
brave.
Men, but I mostly see women wearing white trousers.
Yeah.
I've never seen a man
doing
that.
So
that's going to be something I do.
To be clear,
yeah.
We are not really brave to our definition of brave.
No, I don't feel brave at all.
No. And I'd say every comedian who gets on stage and tries to make people laugh and fails horribly is brave.
Yeah, so in that sense, we are brave sometimes for being comedians trying to be on the stage.
But we are not brave
for being disabled.
No,
I'm on.
So,
yeah.
I thought, because there are some people who bring this up, so I thought, how can I get back in a funny way to these people? How can I turn the negative into a positive?
Yeah.
So, I was thinking, maybe there should be some scale of bravery on which people with or without a disability can be measured.
Yeah.
And what generally makes one brave if you do something extraordinary, like saving orphans from a burning building.
Yeah. That's an extraordinary brave thing to do.
Yes.
I mean, it's probably the bravest thing you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people, firefighters to be exact, that train great chunks of their lives to do just that.
Yeah.
And once upon a time read or saw somewhere in a documentary is that the biggest part of saving somebody out of a burning building, and especially saving a small child out of a burning building, because small children will get more afraid, which can make you feel more afraid, is the fact that you have to be, you can be physically able to do this, but the bravery part about it, that's the part they train the most on. The fact that you can then walk into the building and get in there and just jump through a flaming doorway.
It is fire.
It's
you're
fire.
Confronted with.
And every sense in your body will shout to you. Every brain cell will give alarm signs and say, no, don't do this. Yeah. And so indeed, the bravest thing one can do is save a child or someone, but especially a child from a burning building.
Yes. So I thought, let's make a scale out of that so that you can measure, like I said, handicap or not, how brave someone is. And then I can put myself on that scale, how brave I am and how brave Brace Boy is.
So let's start with an entry level bravery then. What's one child?
Well,
you save one child,
right?
Because the number of children, the braver you are. That's how the scale works,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So one child. What's a brave thing?
Well, losing an eye, maybe. Well, that's no. Losing an eye is pretty.
Losing an iPhone or an eye?
No, an eye.
Okay, because I think losing an iPhone and surviving that is already a form of bravery. Maybe not a whole child, but let's say
a puppy. No.
Let's say a puppy.
Okay. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. That's a good starting point.
Surviving your
losing an iPhone. Saving a puppy out of a burning building.
Yeah, you're surviving the loss of an iPhone. I mean,
everybody
can lose an iPhone.
Yeah.
Every schmuck can do that.
That is the whole point of this scale. You need to survive.
Yeah.
Because if you die, you're dead. And you're not brave anymore. Okay, so starting point. One child, burning building. I'd say, an eye. But an eye is pretty... eye is pretty hefty. That I'd say losing an eye is maybe five children.
Yeah, but okay, but
missing the other five, so actually 10, but yeah, you don't see them.
Yeah. But let's say losing a finger and you get into a horrible accident at your work, or I don't know, building a IKEA closet, you never know, and you lose a finger.
Okay.
Somehow you lose a finger, and you survive that. Yeah, or a toe. No, but let's for this analogy, let's talk about a finger.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you're building this IKEA closet, somehow some part of the closet lands on your finger. Your finger rips off your hand. It lies there in a puddle of blood, but you are on a deadline. You get your fucking duct tape, you wrap it around your head, you stop the bleeding, and then with 9 fingers left, you finish this closet.
Okay, yeah.
I think that's about the same level as
saving one kid
out of a burning orphanage, right? Or is it the burning school?
Yeah, well, a burning building.
A burning building.
A burning building in which you can find orphans or children.
Because what you say, saving a burning, saving, or losing a toe and then surviving, I think that's more saving a kid out of a sinking car. I mean, let's be honest, people that save children or people out of sinking cars or sinking boats are also heroes, are also very brave, but it's less brave because water doesn't really hurt you. It's not fire. Your body will not shout to you. Same warning.
Go away.
As so, of course you're a hero, and of course you probably deserve a medal, but a less brilliant, gold medal than somebody that saved somebody from a burning building, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree.
We just rip like people apart, like people that have been training their whole lives to save somebody.
Firemen also do that.
We just sit here on a fucking. Yeah. So all the firemen in Amsterdam, please don't hate us. Please save us.
We appreciate. Shout out to all the firefighters all over the world. We appreciate your work.
Yeah,
it's very brave, and you can measure it on a scale of MS.
Yeah. Yeah, or a scale of CP. You have the full body CP in which you can only make the laughing sound. Do you know those guys, those CP people that are actually very intelligent, but the only sound they are physically possible to make is the... Those people are very annoying, but they're very sweet as well. So, I mean, you are that person. That's your type of bravery. Yeah.
Yeah. But continuing with the scale, because I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
I'd say that having MS now and being 33 and having MS is saving a school class out of a burning building.
Yeah, and not one of those modern schools.
30.
Yeah, not one of those modern small-scale private school classes.
No.
But like
an
old school class.
30 children.
Yeah, that's pretty brave.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also pretty impossible because what... I mean...
No. This is a neutral scale, right? It was if...
No, but the people, the audience has to imagine saving 30 kids from a burning... Let's say this is a school building because they're all in a classroom. That makes it easier.
Yeah.
So, you're a physical man. You're not that strong, but let's say... How tall are you? 180? 180?
Short. Somewhat shorter. So,
175?
Yeah, a little bit bigger. 178.
1 meter and 78 centimeters. That's how tall you are. How many children would you be able to carry if you were physically a strong, not MS-having person? Like 2 children underneath your arms, if they're small. If they're like 4 years old, you can maybe... With the adrenaline you feel on the moment you have to save them in a burning building, you can maybe carry 2 children, one underneath one arm, and maybe if you're really, the adrenaline is really flowing strongly in you, and you don't have a MS and you don't have CP, then you can maybe carry one on your back as well. So you can carry three at a time.
Okay.
3 at a time.
So that's 10 times?
That's 10
out
trips.
Inside the building, outside the building, and inside the building again.
That's insane. I mean, that you can do that. You're so brave, Marijn. Let's just the people.
Yeah,
now,
can we say that?
Yeah, you're that brave.
30 people, 30 children.
Yeah.
Brave.
Did everybody at home make a note out of this? 30 children.
Yeah.
In a school
it's
class.
It's a bit like the camel, kamel rechner you had going to Morocco.
Yeah.
But then, of course, I wondered. Now I measured myself, but how do I need to put other people on the scale?
Because
where
scale
am I
work.
Going to place Sam?
Yeah.
Because, well, CP also a handicap, lifetime handicap. That's important to address. I don't cure from this, so I have this the rest of my life. And Sam has this his entire life.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get any worse.
No.
Or at least medically.
Medically, I don't have a progressive illness. That's no. Correct. No, so how many children do I save from this burning classroom?
I'd say somewhat less. 20. Still
but
good.
But that's a special needs class. I've been in special needs classes, and there are never more than 20 people in a special needs class. And actually more 15 or something.
Like, and if your parents are wealthy, your class probably won't be that big either. But
no.
20 children.
No, I feel good about it. But yeah. Let's go back to the analogy we made a little bit earlier. Those people with the stretcher earrings, did we already give them a number?
No, we haven't discussed those.
How many?
But I say, yeah, brave. Isn't that also saving a puppy?
No, I think that's actually...
Or less?
I think that's saving somebody's favorite book out of...
Okay, a burning bill. Okay.
Although, that can be very brave, because saving a book is like actually pretty stupid, because you can rebuy a book if you have insurance. So if you save a book because you really want to save it, you're probably either insane or exceptionally brave.
Well, if you wear those stretches in your ears, you're
probably insane, yeah.
Or exceptionally brave.
No, I keep it on the former.
Okay. Yeah. That is something to explain. But where, one could wonder, where is the end of the scale? And there, I have to be short. Cancer, of course.
Yeah.
And that is...
That's the highest point.
Infinite amount of orphans from an infinite amount of burning buildings.
Orphanages.
Orphanages, schools,
because
whatever.
Where else would you find an orphan?
Yeah, but... Well, orphans go to school as well. I hope.
In the orphanage, right?
Yeah, but...
You're not telling me that there are like... Orphans running around the street freely without parental supervision. Yeah,
of course.
They don't have parental supervision. But I mean, you're not going to tell me that there
that's
are
the whole point about being an orphan.
Well, it's really funny, because I now found out that when you clap, you get these extra lines on the mute.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm cutting this out. But it's really funny, because I've been clapping because I find stuff funny.
I do like the orphan that you can't imagine them running around without their parents on the street.
Yeah. But I mean, has to be some grown-up looking after these orphans 24/7. There are orphans, you know. We have to make sure that they either turn into superheroes.
But orphans aren't disabled.
But they're disabled inside. Emotionally.
Yeah, okay. they don't have parents. But hey, Bruce Wayne turned out all right.
Yeah, but Bruce Wayne is a fictional character.
And that's true. And had exceptionally rich parents before they died.
Yeah, and he basically had a parent left because he had Alfred.
Yeah.
Are you now saying that Alfred hasn't the full parent value?
Well, he was a caretaker.
Yeah.
But... so only a parent maybe in writing, but not a real biological parent.
No, of course not.
So
okay.
No, but so that is what I'm working on.
Yeah, and it sounds as some great material, I think.
Well, thank you.
But you had we were talking about being of course maybe we should introduce this. Nowadays, with the whole Me Too movement, you have a really... No, we should introduce this in a different way. I'm gonna pause the video and then we can introduce it again.
So, I think I think it's a nice bit, but it's also pretty dark.
Yeah.
And we were talking on the phone yesterday, and then we talked about dark humor, and that people don't expect us to have dark humor.
No, of course, because... Disabled people cannot have dark humor, because we have to be happy all the time, because otherwise you don't have anything to live for. Because if we, with all our downfalls, can be happy, then you, with your iPhone with a broken screen, cannot experience happiness at all.
Yeah, Of course. Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah.
So why would we be able to appreciate dark humor?
Yeah, but it has some upsides, though. We have, like, a superpower. Of course, we have the known superpowers is that we get ahead in lines because of our disability. We don't have to wait in lines. We get better parking spots, as we discussed many times before. We get discounts at museums and sometimes even tickets for sporting events or concerts. But one of our other amazing superpowers that's actually a little bit of a secret. It's not often talked about, that we cannot be perceived as assholes.
Yes.
People, we can be...
Or no.
We can do stuff that normal people cannot do without being an asshole. We can do those things and nobody will call us an asshole when we do them.
Yeah.
It's amazing power.
Yeah, well, we were talking yesterday about how we... when we are in the metro, we can
let's start off a little lightly. When you're in a metro, you often see those people when you're in a metro and they start shouting to somebody else in the metro, somebody they know, and that person sits like six, seven rows in front of them or behind them, and doesn't really, but not next to them, and then they start shouting to the whole metro and have a whole conversation. If a normal person without a disability would do that, everybody in the metro would.
Then you're an asshole.
Say, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
But if we do that, they say, oh, but he has a disability. He probably needs his caretaker or his friend to come by and help.
And he
him
probably
out.
Can't walk over.
He probably can, so he needs to do this conversation out loud. The same goes for people that do their phone calls in a metro or in a train.
Yeah.
I mean, normally you will be seen as an asshole, but you with an obvious disability, you cannot be an asshole. But it goes
because
further.
You're calling your caretaker or whoever.
They don't know. Maybe it's the hospital. Maybe they have some results.
Maybe
of your
you
test.
Are dying.
Maybe you are dying. Maybe you're having a panic attack. This is your first time without your caretaker in the metro, in the train. So you are able to do a whole conversation. And I like to make these conversations very dirty because you know people are listening. So I always start talking about how my shits were this day or this week. Depends when I shit it last. And I really go into depth in how the texture of my shit was, how
the
dry
really
it was.
The really dirty details.
The weary, very, what the consistency was, what the color was.
Yeah.
And then I normally...
The frequency you went to the toilet.
And I have to be honest... One of the amazing, what I've, of course, about technology, technology and the amazing strides we have taken about what we can do nowadays with our phones that we all carry around in our pockets or our backpacks. So, of course, it's amazing that you can look up pictures of everybody. But the amazing thing is that you can easily find online a color palette so you can pinpoint the right name for the color of shit you
that
took.
You can say it's IBG 106M5.
Especially that people all over the world can see the exact same color and know what color code it is.
By the way, this ties into the to the trivia about horseradish.
Yeah.
If you eat a lot of horseradish, you might suffer from painful if you go to the toilet to take a whiz, that can be painful.
Really?
But if you really have a lot, you can get bloody diarrhea because of the horseradish.
That's great.
I thought I share it with you.
this is a fact that everybody in the world needs to know. No, but let's talk about a little bit more about this analogy that we cannot be assholes because, of course.
You were talking about getting dirty, and yesterday on the phone you had quite some dirty examples.
For example, we have all discussed this by now, the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
Men are finally being called out for the assholes that they are, but we have a golden cloak. We have a golden shield.
Yeah.
We have a magic repellent of being called an asshole.
Yeah.
So if we are standing or sitting in a very busy metro or train...
How do they say that in America? I'm a rubber, you're glue. Everything bounces off me and sticks to you. Something like that.
Yeah, indeed. We are rubber and glue. Everything just
bounces. No, we are just rubber.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're rubber. Sorry.
Yeah.
So if we are sitting in a very busy metro or train or whatever, we can easily just cup a little feel of a girl's ass. I mean, she, yeah, of course she will notice. Of course she will say something about it. But we can do this because we can't be assholes. She will see that we have a physical disability, and she probably thinks that it's some spastic reaction, that we cannot help ourselves.
And that it might be the one experience in our entire life that lifts us up.
Yeah, probably this is the one thing we can live for ages. Probably she thinks it's a good deed. She probably thinks that this is her one upstep to eventually getting a medal or I don't know what you call it.
Yeah,
a key to the city or whatever.
Yeah, some good
kind
deed.
Some kind of recognition for this good deed.
Recognition by God.
Recognition by God and the state of church, of course.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
But I think we can even stretch it a little bit farther. You can probably
squeeze the ass.
Yeah, so not only touch it, but squeeze it a little. Give it a little
honky-honky. Just a little.
Yeah, give it a little honky-honky. And maybe if you're really promiscuous and you're really, really, really disabled, but then you have to be the drooling disabled people, which helps because you're squeezing an ass, so you might start drooling a little, let's be honest. So it helps that you already can say, oh, but this is part of my disability. So you
can you say that part? If you're drooling, are you able to
speak? I always
say
that I'm drooling because of my disability.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's actually, I'm almost always drooling during meetings at work because I'm sleeping at those times. And then when I'm sleeping, I'm drooling. And then I always say, no, sorry, this is my disability. I can't help myself. So, and then they can't say anything about that. That's because you can be an asshole. You have a golden shield.
But
yeah,
if you can squeeze a girl's ass,
you can maybe squeeze their boobies as well.
Yeah. Or just brush them.
Brush them first. Brush them first.
Just touch them briefly.
Yeah.
As an accident.
As an accident. And then you can go further than that, maybe. Maybe you never know.
Squeeze boobies.
Squeeze boobies.
Cup of feel.
Yeah. I mean, stuff happens, especially in Japan. Okay. This stuff happens all the time. And I think this is the golden ticket that we've all been waiting for.
To Japan.
No, we as disabled people...
We can do that. We can do that and get away with it.
Probably. We haven't tested this out. We should mention that.
I'm not going to try it and find out. Especially in my case, I might not be seen as a handicapped person.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, but you don't drool on command. That's something that you still have to work on. The drooling on command bit is very important for everybody in this world, I think.
Okay.
For every disabled person.
No, that is something I need to practice.
Yeah. But should we talk about music?
Yeah, you want to go on, right?
Yeah, let's go on.
Let's
talk about music.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our
So
last week we talked a little bit about metal, but we also thought we could use this.
Yeah,
let's introduce this again. So last week we talked a little bit about music and about metal and the power chord, and we talked about early metal especially, but we want to talk about a little bit not only about music but about other types of pop culture as well. We want to talk about comic books we read. Normal books we read. Maybe we can talk
series we watch. Movies we like.
The music, of course, but maybe we can in the future we can do an episode about Magic the Gathering, a game that we both play. And there's a new set coming out this upcoming month.
Yes, next week already.
Next week, next Friday, I believe. Right.
Yes, that's right. And I've already placed my order for a booster box, but maybe we should skip this. And go on with the music and the movies and the series and the comics and.
We want to talk about a specific movie.
You wanted to talk about a specific movie.
Talk about something. And people always make fun of me. I go to a lot of movies. I have one of those passes you have in the Netherlands. They're called cinephile. And this means that you pay 20 euros, about 20 euros, and then you can go to as many movies in a couple of cinemas around Amsterdam and other big cities. You can go to
20 euros a month, I guess.
20
yeah.
euros a month, and then you can go to as many movies as you like.
Yeah. Okay.
And
yeah.
I go to a movie about...
Yeah, you like movies.
I go to a movie about once a week, maybe twice a week. I went to a movie yesterday, to be honest. I went to a movie called Revenge. Oh, you would like this movie. It's not playing very often anymore because
okay,
it's a little
yeah.
bit at the end of its run, but maybe it will get out on...
Maybe I can see it on Netflix.
Or something else, something other. Maybe they will put it on TV or something. But it's this movie about this girl... This ties in, but what we were just talking about fondling girls inappropriately.
Oh.
This girl that gets raped by this. This is very horrible. And then
Believe I've seen trailers of it.
Yeah, and then she gets left for dead, and then she
and her family is killed, right?
No. That's in part two.
Maybe but you can stop it because I do.
Revenge, this is a movie I saw yesterday. It's about this girl that gets raped. And then,
yes.
And this is in a hunting lodge, but it's a very fancy hunting lodge, so it doesn't consist out of wood. And then she, long story short, she gets pushed off a cliff by these three guys. They think she died. She actually survives on some magical way, and she gets... she gets shish kebabbed by a tree, and on the bottom of the fall in a sense, and then she burns the tree, and somehow the tree then dissolves, and she can get out of the tree, which is a very strange way of getting out
okay.
of the tree to set it on fire.
Yeah.
But hey, what do I know? and then she finally finds out that she's actually an expert sniper, and she steals one of the guns
wow.
and she kills all the guys, and that's the movie in 1.5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually
okay. So
it's actually quite a fun movie in a sense. But we wanted to talk about another movie, and
you wanted to talk about.
I wanted
movie.
To talk about another movie, and that's called Creed, or especially Creed 2. It's by the director.
So there are two Creeds.
Yeah. So Creed 1 was... you all have heard of the movie series Rocky. Produced...
Oh, yeah.
Produced, written, and directed by Sylvester Stallone. I believe he directs them, but I'm not sure. And don't point me on that.
Shall I check it out?
Check it out. And also find the director
the
for
Creed.
The new one.
The,
for the Creed director. Because I forgot his name.
Creed. Ryan Coogler is the director
for Creed, yeah.
Yeah.
And also for Creed 2, I believe. So what the
okay.
funny thing is about this movie is in Rocky 4, this friend of Rocky, Apollo Creed, he
yeah.
dies in a boxing match with this Russian boxer.
Yeah.
But just before he dies, he knocks up not his wife, but another woman, and then he gets a son, but he of course he never meets his son because he's dead before that. So that's very sad in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And this son now gets trained by Rocky Balboa to also be a boxer, and that's part one. That the son of the Creed Jr. is looking for a trainer, and then of course he wants to be trained by the great Rocky Balboa, played by Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
And then he gets him to be a trainer, and then he has this boxing match with a real life super cool wrestler from Liverpool, and they have this amazing boxing match, and he gets this really hot, nice looking musical girlfriend that is really
oh,
intelligent
yeah. of
and
course
then, and
was making a musical
and
out
and
of the whole thing
yeah, yeah. and then like 10 good 10 to 15 minutes of the movie is about Philly cheesesteaks because it all takes place in Philadelphia.
Of course.
So you have to talk about Philly cheesesteaks.
I can imagine.
And then they have some rappers in there and then blah, 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 yada, 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 yada. And so part two is about him, the son of Apollo Creed. So Creed Jr. boxing against the son of Drogo. Drogo was a Russian boxer that killed his father.
He sounds like someone who has a pretty big part in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a really pretty big part in Game of Thrones.
Okay.
This is a blonde guy. Yeah. So and a pretty big the guy in Game of Thrones has black hair. So,
yeah,
I mean,
and a beard. I don't know. Does he have a beard?
No, he doesn't have a beard. Oh. He's quite clean shaven. Okay. They're both very big guys, though. Okay. So you're on the right track. Therefore, so you have a couple of points in.
yes.
Yeah, but
style points.
So this first movie was again was directed by Brian Coogler, which is a very good director, and it was actually a very good film with a couple of very nice shots and a very good story arc that wasn't too on the nose. But now the trailer for the second part, it seems that they did a full Monty and they now are like cash grabbing. People, or they became like cash grabbing people, because now it has all the stereotypes of a Rocky movie, which in my opinion is a great thing, but it's also a bad thing because it's gonna be people are probably not gonna like this movie this much.
Okay.
Because Rocky was something that took place in the 80s and a little bit of the early 90s, and people don't want to revisit those days now in movies because we want more original material. That's something that a lot of people want in movies.
Yeah, but I do think there is quite a large market for nostalgia.
For nostalgia and rehashing.
Yeah.
You're right. And I'm really looking forward to Creed 2, but I'm a little bit afraid that this is going to be like an uber mega extreme nostalgia fest with a lot of member berries thrown into it.
Member berries?
Oh, you haven't seen this episode of South Park?
No, I guess not.
I'll give you. I will show you in a bit.
Yeah, but maybe explain the member berries shortly.
Member berries in South Park. There was a South Park episode around the time that the new Star Wars came out, the Force Awakens.
Yes.
There was this in response to the Force Awakens, Star Wars came up with the member berries. There are these blue berries in the show that when you eat you feel a sense, an extreme sense of nostalgia, so you feel very good, and these berries talk to you and they say things like, "Remember Chewbacca? I remember Chewbacca. He was great. Remember the Millennium Falcon? I remember the Millennium Falcon. It was amazing. Remember Back to the Future? I remember Back to the Future. Back to the Future was great."
I think we've heard the member berry voice well enough now.
So this movie is probably packed to the brim with member berries.
It's okay. Like
it's a member berry smoothie.
Yeah.
With some member berry yogurt.
Yeah.
Mixed in with some member berry with some syrup.
With some member berries on the top.
Yeah. And a little bit of member berry syrup.
Yeah.
It's
I get the point.
Yeah. And but I'm still looking forward to the movie. But I don't have anything else to mention.
You don't even need member berries.
No, I'm just really happy. But let's talk about the next subject maybe, because I cannot say anything more. I think
about this. So about music. Yeah, still waiting for the new Tool album. Still waiting for the new Tool album.
But I think
maybe that can be a running thing.
I think we can have grandchildren before the new two.
We
maybe have to get a little bit. You have to get a girlfriend first, because else you or a boyfriend. I don't care. Grandchildren can.
I prefer a girlfriend.
Yeah,
working
okay
on that.
Yeah, but but nowadays you need a second life partner to adopt a child. Even so, I mean, you.
But I don't even have a first life.
You need two life partners, so you and then another person, then you are both life partners, and then you can start a whole adoption process, and then you could adopt a child.
But single
parents cannot adopt children, or it's really hard to adopt children as a single parent.
Let me state this very clear here and now, I don't want to adopt a kid, child.
Why not?
There
are plenty of children that need a second. So wait, you're just gonna save all these children out of burning orphanages, and then you're gonna just leave them on the side of the road
just,
and be like,
"Just saving
you
them."
That's not bravery, man.
Yeah,
bravery is them taking that full classroom
30 of them
back home.
I think that's quite a lot.
Them a life. But let's end the podcast because we've been quite, this is our longest podcast yet with 52 minutes.
But you are still going to edit. So maybe some
still,
parts.
This is going to be our longest podcast yet.
Maybe because finally we got our mojo running. But that, okay.
True,
But okay, let's end it. So this is then the end.
Yeah,
of the podcast number 4, season 1.
Yeah,
if you like it,
subscribe,
share,
write comments.
Write a comment down below.
And write a review if possible.
Yes, and stay curious for our next episode because it's going to be there.
Yeah,
and until then, I say to you, that is how the crisp crunches.